Hey, powerhouse, I just want to let you know that I see you. You have multiple to-do lists. You never feel like you're crossing anything off. Overwhelm is constantly swimming in your head. I absolutely relate, and I see you, and I'm here to help you regain your sanity. Introducing the Powerhouse Brain Dump, a better way of getting shit done. You guys, this is a game-changing ebook that is about to revolutionize the way you tackle your tasks. It's not your typical productivity guide. None of us have time for that. But it's a revolutionary approach that I've perfected over time that is going to actually help you break free from overwhelm and reclaim your powerhouse status so you can actually get shit done. So what are you waiting for? Say hello to a more organized and focused you. Grab your copy of the Powerhouse Brain Dump, a better way of getting shit done today by clicking on the link in the show notes or go directly to erin-gerner.com to grab your copy.
I encourage anybody who is a woman in any industry, particularly the male-dominated industries, to form a network of women that are in your industry and also outside your industry. You will never regret having a solid network of women around you because it literally will change your life and your career.
You are more than a lawyer. You are a powerhouse. Welcome to Powerhouse Lawyers. I'm your host, Erin Gerner, a former lawyer, wife, mom, entrepreneur, and coach. And I'm here to show you what's possible. So if you're ready, let's go. Hey, powerhouses, welcome back to the show. I am so excited to introduce you to our next guest, a fellow community builder, a new friend of mine, and someone who we are instant kismet, and I'm just so excited to bring her on the show. Katie Lipp is an employment and business lawyer, a law firm owner, author, podcast host, and mentor to female entrepreneurs and lawyers. She owns Lipp Law, which focuses on simplifying HR and business law for companies, entrepreneurs, and educators in the DC, Maryland, and Virginia area. I love it. It said DMV. I was like, really? Where we drive? And then I was like, oh, DC, Maryland, Virginia. I was like, that's lingo that I don't know because I'm not from that area. I love it. And she also has Law Practice Queen Business Coaching, where she provides mindset coaching and mentoring for female entrepreneurs and lawyers on topics like how to get clients, how to sell yourself online, and how to create a money-making brand. Welcome to the show, Katie. I'm so excited you're here.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you, Erin.
Awesome. Okay. Well, that was the Reader's Digest version of Katie. And I know that you didn't start out from law school with Lipp Law. So I would love if you would take us back to the beginning. Why did you go to law school and how have you come full circle with your own practice?
So I went to law school. It was like a choice between law and psychology. I was a psychology major undergrad. And ironically, it was because I would have more job opportunities in my mind with law versus psychology. And then I graduated in 2010. And just like the economy was just, you know, tanking and everything was tanking. No one had jobs. So yeah, that was pretty ironic. And then also, law was 3 years. Psychology, if I wanted to get a PhD, was like 5 years. So, and in my family, it's like you needed to get higher education. That was kind of like the path I was funneled to. Thanks, mom and dad.
Cheers. Mine were that too. We're like, that's good. Higher education. Yeah. We got it all. Yeah, we got like all the accolades.
Yeah. Like you will do these things. And so my mom was like, oh, you should be a doctor. And I hate blood. I'm just terrible with anything along those lines. I don't know where she got that idea. But, you know, also the prestige of being a lawyer, like I'm definitely a recovering people pleaser. And I was like, you know, people will think I'm smart. They'll be in awe of my smarts. And so that was definitely a part of it. I wanted to make my parents proud, and I kind of ended up in the same place because the type of psychology I was looking into doing was workplace psychology, like industrial, organizational IO psych. I do employment law, which involves a lot of like, it's like family law without kids. I always say like, we get the criers, we get the yellers. It's like high school. We get bullying. Like it's never a dull moment with employment law. I love it. But yeah, that was kind of the original intent. Like, there wasn't much like strategy behind it. It was like, what can I do to like, you know, and I love to read, I love to write, I like talking to people. So it seemed like a good fit, but then it was also like this challenge of, well, it seems really hard. And like, is it really that hard? You know? And I think on the other end, you know, on the other side, it's like, no, it's not that hard. Like if you can read, you can write, you can talk to people. I think it's like the structures that, and the pressures that we have as lawyers and just like the way things are set up in the legal industry sometimes work against us staying in the legal industry. So yeah, that was like my whole thought with going to law school. And then what was your other question? Sorry.
So after law school, what was that experience like? So ooh. I'm curious because obviously you're now out on your own and that's evolved, right? Like that just wasn't an overnight thing. So I'd love to know like what that journey looked like to get you there.
Yeah. So I graduated in 2010. There were not many jobs to be had. So I kind of started, you know, I'm big into networking and I started kind of like my networking strategies back then. I'm like, okay, most people in law school, God bless us. Like we're a lot of us as lawyers, like our brethren are not the best with like emotional intelligence and like talking to people, like having normal conversations. And so I think both of us are like two peas in a pod in that we can talk to people. Like that's something that is a gift for us. Like that's no problem for us. So I was like, okay, my grades were like middle of the road. Let me see if I can network my way into a job kind of informally, which is what I ended up doing. I ended up meeting with alumni from my school and just emailing them and saying, hey, I didn't even say I was looking for a job. I would just say something like, I'm interested in your practice area. So I started out in government contracts, which is like a really popular practice area in the DC area where I practice. And there's like lots of government contractors around here. And it seems like a practice area that most people were not interested in. A lot of people are like, that's boring. And I was like, I need a job. So like, I don't care if it's boring. Like it, and I had an internship, like I worked for the Army during law school doing it. So I was like, I can do this. Like, this is contracting. I can do this. And I met with a bunch of lawyers who were alumni, asked them out to coffee, did not ask for a job, very critical, did not ask them for a job. And then one of them ended up taking me under his wing. Turns out, I think I was very similar to one of the lawyers at the firm. We had a lot in common. So it was like, it was just kind of funny. But anyways, he ended up, when I first met with him, he was like, there are no jobs open at my firm. And I was like, that's fine. You know, let's just, you know, I just like to hear about your experience and blah, blah, blah. And then by the end of the conversation, he was like, well, why don't I bring you to the firm to like have a discussion? And so it was kind of like this, I think it's very important. Like when you start out a relationship with somebody, you don't start out like what's in it for me, you know, because people are very like, people will retract from that. You know, you have to kind of build up the relationship before you can withdraw anything from it. Build up that goodwill. And so I ended up working at a firm in DC doing government contracting. And then I got an opportunity to switch over to another firm with some colleagues that I knew in Virginia to do focus kind of more on government contracting. But then that's where I was introduced to employment and business law. So it was kind of like I went from one small firm to another like growing firm, and I ended up kind of growing with them and becoming partner there. And I got to a point at the second firm where I really wanted to work from home. I had a 2-year-old daughter at the time. I was really burning out. I was doing a lot of litigation and I was like, I just need like a change. I wasn't able to work remotely there. And so I was just looking, I had a lot of tech clients and I still do. And a lot of them worked remotely. And I'm like, well, why can't I work remotely? All I'm doing is like, I'm on my computer all day and on the phone. That's it. Like I rarely see clients in person. And so I kind of went on like a soul searching thing. I interviewed at firms, like nothing was a good fit. I was like, I just need to like strike out on my own because I wanted to create my own working environment where I could work from home, where I could have more time for my family. And then where I could also, like, at the time, at the firm I was at, I was only representing employers mostly, and I wanted to do both sides of employment law. And so now I do both sides, and I'm able to do that because basically I struck out on my own. And then it kind of evolved from there. Like, it was just supposed to be me and like a paralegal, and then I had a litigator join me. So I'm back in the litigation game, which is fine. I mean, I like managing litigation. I just don't want to be the one that like goes to court. It's just not really my thing. I just don't really enjoy it as much as I do like bringing in business for the firm and managing the firm, and doing like HR consulting. So yeah, it was definitely like a long process, but I will say if I did not have a child, like I'd probably still be at like a bigger firm, like within that environment.
Yeah. What I want to point out and what I heard repeatedly through that is you networked from the beginning. You used your relationships from the very beginning of your legal career. Where did that come from? Like, where did that instinct come from? That's not, right? That's not our usual instinct, especially, you know, upon, you know, nearing graduation from law school and in the, you know, logistically in the environment that you were in, there weren't a lot of jobs. So like the panic is probably setting in for the masses, but you had a completely different mindset. Why and how is that?
I think so. In undergrad, I was like a student advisor for the psychology department. Like people would come in when they were having issues trying to figure out like what major, not like what major to pick, but like how to schedule their classes. And kind of like, it was kind of like a career advising type role where people would just come in. This was like in the olden days when like you did not, like you, I think we did sign up for classes online. It was just the beginning of that, but people were trying to like figure out their schedule and they wanted to like graduate on time. And like, they're trying to figure out their life basically. And
yeah, so where I actually still went into career services and they talked about what particular class and they could like actually put you in the class. Like it was very old school, like checkers game. Yeah.
Yeah. So like I'm an 80s baby. So like I didn't have a computer in college. Like I had a computer in law school and it was like kind of the beginning of that. And so we kind of went through that tech shift, but it was like, I wasn't working for career services. It was like a specific thing. It was called like psychology peer advisors. So I was like a peer advisor. And so I kind of got used to like, I will come into a system and like figure out how to game it. You know, it's like, okay, how can I like get from point A to point B with like the least amount of effort possible? And I think that's just like human nature, right? Like you want to, you know, your goal eventually is to do more with less. And so with the networking, I mean, it was just something where I was like, I am not going to get, like, I was trying to apply for clerkships. I can't believe I actually wasted my, I can believe it. I mean, you know, clerkships are really pushed as like, you know, you should really do this and it'd be great for your resume. But there was no way like they were going to pay, like with my middle of the road grades, like they're going to skim off the top. Like, why wouldn't they? You know, when you're renting a house, you're going to pick somebody with a top credit score, you know, and that's just kind of how the system works. So I was like, okay, nobody, even the people who had big law jobs lined up lost their offer. So it was kind of like, it was time for some creative problem solving. So I was like, how can I connect with people at a smaller firm who don't care about grades? And I can just kind of when somebody looks at a stack of resumes and they don't know you, there's no like edge there. So I'm like, how can I put a name or a face to the name and kind of set myself apart and talk to people who are actually doing this and get, you know, I was really just kind of seeking advice, not necessarily like looking for a job, but it's like, it's all about who you know. Like I always knew that. And even before, like I took a year off in between undergrad and law school so I could retake my LSATs and I worked as a paralegal. And even with that job, I networked with alumni to get that job. I was just like, hey, you go to Mason, which is where I wanted to go. And, you know, or I'm always looking for a place that is not hiring right now, but maybe if they meet me, they can find a spot for me. Cause then you're not competing with anybody, right? Like you're kind of creating your own role. And small companies, like they don't have the bandwidth to always hire, maybe they're not hiring a formal recruiter, or it is challenging hiring as a small company. So if a good candidate just comes up to you and is like, hey, can I work with you? Like, why wouldn't you give that person a shot? Or at least, like, I know now they're pushing like informational interviews. That's not something that I knew about when I was in school. Like, they never taught us about that. But I think it's a great idea. It's like, once you meet somebody, you're willing to kind of go the extra mile for them if they're a good candidate. So I guess, like, I mean, I just always knew from experience that, like, it's who you know. It is literally who you know. Your network is your net worth. I know that's like a cheesy saying, but it's so true. Like, once people know you, they're willing to help you out. And definitely I learned more so once I was a lawyer, and at, you know, what the reason I started Law Practice Queen is that birds of a feather flock together. Like, there is implicit bias in the legal industry. I think sometimes it's explicit, but I think a lot of times it's implicit. I encourage anybody who is a woman in any industry, particularly the male dominated industries, to form a network of women that are in your industry and also outside your industry. It will never hurt, right?
Never.
And network with the guys too. I mean, I'm not saying, like, this is not like a guy bashing thing. It's more so like, you will never regret having a solid network of women around you, because it literally will change your life and your career.
God, I could not agree more. I mean, you and I will both die on the Community for Lawyers Hill. Yes. I mean, truly, it is life-changing. But why do you think there is such a lack of community for female lawyers? Like, why is it so important for you and I to be doing this work? Because I talk to women every single day who need community, but I'm still mind-boggled how this profession, there's such a lack of that for female lawyers.
Yeah, I mean, the legal profession gives lip service to diversity. And especially, I think the big firms, everybody's trying, right? Like, there's lip service to it. But I think the people who are impacted by it the most are the ones that are going to put the most effort into it, because it affects them personally. And so when I started out as a lawyer, I was terrified. You know, I was terrified. It's like, I just need to make sure that I am doing my job well and not messing up. You know, we're terrified of messing up. So you spend the first part of your legal career just trying to be competent and just trying to keep your head above water. And then you get past the competency stage, and maybe you start specializing in an area of the law, or maybe you decide it's not for you and you transition out. You know, like, you kind of, there's like forks in the road in your legal path. But once you stay in, and for me, focus heavily on business development and making partner and all that, you start to realize in a big way, not necessarily that the deck is stacked against you. I think there's a lot of benefits to being a woman in law. I mean, you're a token, you know, there are great things about being a female lawyer. People will pick you specifically because you are a female lawyer for cases, and they'll tell you that, you know, and it's like, great. I don't care if you pick me because I'm purple, but like, I'm your gal.
I'm your girl.
Let's do it. But like, the reason why the legal industry in particular is male dominated and men are in power is, I mean, it's a reflection of our society. Like, our society is a patriarchy. We live in a patriarchy, and we're presented with images at a young age of what we should do, right? Societal norms. And definitely with the language we choose, you know, a lot of times people say female lawyer. Like, you're never going to say male lawyer, right? You're going to say,
that's so true, Katie. Oh my gosh, what a great point. I'm going to be like, you're a male lawyer and I'm a female lawyer. Like, what?
Yeah, it's so like weird. Female lawyer, female doctor, right? It's like, you're, and sometimes I think it's important not to get like angry at these things, but just like accept them for what they are and realize, like, it's okay to advocate for female lawyers specifically. I think there's a little bit of a taboo to it, to like pointing it out and calling it out for what it is, because I think a lot of times people associate it with being like angry towards men. And it's like, no, like, we love you guys. But we are going to pour our energy into female lawyers, right? And I very specifically, when I started Law Practice Queen, wanted to throw the rope back for female lawyers. And then now I do it also for female entrepreneurs, because there's so many parallels between the industries. But I think it, you know, it's a huge reflection of our society, and we don't realize we're doing it. Even women do it. It's not just like a men issue. It's a societal issue where, like, we look on the TV and who is always the thing that bugs me a lot is, like, who's always the lawyer that shows up on the show? It's always like a older white guy, usually, or maybe sometimes it's a younger white guy, but very rarely do you see in shows the lawyer being depicted as, like, as a female lawyer. And I'm not talking about, like, the sitcoms, right? Like the legal sitcoms. I feel like there's always, like, a very sexy, like, female lawyer who has these, like, very fitted suits, and she's randomly still able to function with, like, just drinking alcohol all the time. And, like, she doesn't have kids. Or if she does have kids, like, somebody else is taking care of them. Like, you know, and not that there's anything wrong with that, right? Like, I put my kid in daycare, whatever, you know, you do you, like, we do what we need to do to, like, make it to bedtime. But, like, with the things we see, like, that has an impact on us. Like, Hollywood has an impact on us. And, like, and when we think of who to hire as a lawyer, our own biases, a lot of times, like, who is top of mind for you? And so it's just, we need to make the unconscious conscious to fix these issues. And my way of fixing it and trying to address it is to have female entrepreneur and lawyer networks where it's like, okay, you need to refer someone, go to the list, who's on the list, right? Because you don't have a lot of time when you're, you know, and mental energy to refer someone. So it's like, on my law firm's referral list, we have a referral list. It's like all these different lawyers, all these different states. I always try to make sure there's a female lawyer, at least one on the list. And sometimes I send out a referral and it's three dudes. And, you know, that's okay. Like, they're all really good lawyers, but you try to take extra energy and take extra steps to advocate for female lawyers.
Absolutely. So when you started Law Practice Queen, tell us why. I know you just alluded to why you started that, right? Because you want to throw the rope back or whatever. So what has Law Practice Queen brought you personally? So much, I'm sure. And I would love to know what you have seen transpire in Law Practice Queen since you've started this. Like, what was the unexpected?
Oh my gosh. So it is definitely given me so much. Like, it's like my reason for waking up. It's wonderful. It is, you know, it is my side business. I know a lot of people use the word, like, side hustle. Like, I don't have the bandwidth, like, to run Lip Law and Law Practice Queen full tilt, like, maybe someday, but just not right now. But with Law Practice Queen, like, the reason for starting it was definitely to address gender bias in the legal industry, to advocate for female lawyers. And it's really me helping me 5 years ago. Like, it's like, I didn't have these tools. I didn't have somebody advocating and, like, giving me these resources. So it's like, what would I want if I was looking to maybe start a firm? Or what if, because really, once I started my law practice, I was like, this is so much easier than being in somebody else's system. Even though the systems I was in, the firms I was in, they were great firms. It's like, I thought this was going to be so hard, and I thought I was going to fail at this. And I was so scared at, like, stepping out on my own, but, like, really it's so much better than I ever thought it could be. I really, really just, you know, it just was crazy, like, being on the other side. And so I was like, I have to shout to the mountaintops, like, female lawyers, like, instead of getting out of the legal industry altogether, try this, like, try this entrepreneurship path. Like, maybe it could work for you. And listen, like, there are people that are, their journey is, like, I can't say entrepreneurship is for everyone. I can't say law firm ownership is for everyone, but I can show you what my experience is like, and I can give you the tools to get clients. Because really, the power in the legal industry is with the book of business. Like, if you have a book of business, that's worth money. right? Yeah. Like that is worth everything. And that is literally what partnership is you show that you can bring in clients, but nobody teaches you how to do that. A lot of people think that they can't do that, but they've just never been taught. Like this is stuff that we learn along the way. So it was really like, I can help women stay in the legal industry and not just give up because they don't have, like, because the traditional systems are not working for them. So it's been such a joy and such a headache also, because it's like, you know, I see other people like you and other coaches who are working full-time on their businesses. And it's like, you compare yourself to other people and it's like, oh, I wish I had the time to do that. And, you know, I wish I could, you know, make those kinds of revenues like with my business. But I have had to accept like where I'm at in my business journey and accept my bandwidth limitations to know like, no, like I'm running Lip Law full time. I'm running Law Practice Queen part time. And that's just like where I'm at right now. But yeah, it has really been interesting to see the people that reach out to me for mentoring and coaching. And a lot of them are actually men, which has been so surprising to me. And they don't care. They don't care that I'm just out there being like, go rah, 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 like go female lawyers. Like they're like, I like your creative approaches. Like I want to work with you. And that's been, I think, been the most surprising thing to me. I'm like, okay, sure. Like I'll mentor you. Like, you know, I'm not going to exclude anyone, but there are certain offerings like my membership, my networking membership is just for female lawyers and entrepreneurs. You know, I have been nervous sometimes to say that, you know, I don't want to necessarily exclude people, but at the same time, like I'm on a mission. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I just want to point out and reflect back to you what I think that you are showing your clients, because I know it comparison is the thief of joy, right? And I think that every single time, basically when we open our eyes to life, TV, whatever it is, society is telling us we're not killing it and we're not doing enough, right? It's like, you're not making seven figures, blah, blah, like just so much BS. But what I want to reflect to you and what I want our listeners to hear is that you are showing people how to do both and how to exist in the seasons of your life right now, knowing that the best is yet to come, right? Like knowing that the finish line is still moving with you. It's never right now, like this is not a failure. All this is that you are literally showing people how to build a book of business, how to build their law practice. And oh, by the way, if you have a creative outlet, something that you love and is tugging at your heartstrings, a heart-centered business, i.e. we create what we wanted, you're showing people how to do both, how to make income from both of those. And eventually maybe Law Practice Queen will become your full-time thing. Maybe it won't, but that's exactly what you are empowering women to know that they can do. It doesn't have to be either or, it can be and both.
Right. Yeah. That was definitely the struggle I had last year with like, you know, I feel like I just cannot dedicate enough time to Law Practice Queen to make it like what I want it to be. And that's just the part of your brain that tells you it's not good enough. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. You need to fix it. Your brain always comes up with problems, right? And so it's up to the rational part of me, like me, not just my thoughts, like me telling my thoughts like, hey, everything is good. Like everything is great. Like the universe is supporting me. Everybody supports me in this. Like, because really, if you let those perfectionist thoughts take over, then you quit. Then you're like, this is not good enough. So I might as well just throw it all away. And I think that we really do ourselves a disservice when we put so much effort into something and then we're just like, oh, it's not good enough because maybe we're not making seven figures, when the reality is like most businesses are not going to make seven figures.
Because seven figures is a lot of money. Like people don't, like people make that sound like you're making 50 bucks. Like it's so ridiculous how people like just throw out these numbers. And I'm like, that's a lot of money. Like people work lifetimes to earn that much money. You're making it sound like they just went to, you know, spent 20 bones at the whatever. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? Like, society has skewed what is normal so far off to like the stratosphere that it's important for women like us to talk about the truth and what is actually happening and how we can actually build a book of business and also be able to lean into the things that we love and still be able to grow them in the seasons of life that we're in.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like the Instagram effect where it's like you see somebody on Instagram and they're like, if you just follow these three steps, like then you'll make seven figures. And it's like, that's a marketing thing, right? Like, they want you to buy their course or whatever. And like, I'm sure, like, no shade to those people, but it's like, maybe their course is awesome, you know, but most people like won't reach that level, won't put in the time. Like, we are really, as a society, we want things to happen overnight. We are the, you know, we want to microwave it. And then it's, you know, we want like the quick, you know, and that's why so many of us, like, it's like the answer really is like, it takes a long time and it takes consistent hard work. Nobody wants to hear that. That's not a good marketing pitch, right? And so it's like, I think there's, you have to realize like, that's a pitch that they're trying to get you to buy the course or, you know, whatever, which I'm sure is maybe a great course. But I think, you have to really like keep your blinders on and focus on like, one of the business coaches I worked with, her name is Rose Lounsbury. She's really sweet. She basically taught me to like save all of the like nice, she called them like put it in a kudos folder. I don't know if you remember.
God, I have one of those too where you go back and people like wrote you nice stuff. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. She's like, you really need, cause like our brains are skewed negatively. Like we will find the problems like, and it's like, we forget about the good things. So you need to like train yourself to look at those kudos things. Like when people sent you, like, I love it. My favorite thing, I post a lot about mental health. My favorite thing is when somebody sends me a message and was like, hey, your post on depression was like so helpful. And, you know, I decided after that, like to go see a psychiatrist, you know, and I was scared to do it before. And it's like that, that is like, to me, I'm like, done. Okay. I'm done.
Yeah. That is impact. That's how you are literally like, we're reaching one person at a time. Like that's what it is. I think we can get very caught up in like trying to change the system when in reality, like our job is to, like you said earlier in the podcast, is throw the rope back for one female lawyer at a time and bring them up with us. And I think that that's really all any of us can do. And that's what every female lawyer deserves. Cause like you, I did not have a community. I did not have a mentor. I didn't have anybody to ask questions or tell me that I wasn't crazy or that it was normal to feel like this, or that there were other options and other ways to do things, other ways to think, you know, other ways to practice law. Like nobody was telling me any of those things. So I'm just so glad that there are women like us that are empowering women with the, because you're right, our mind is not our friend. And if we don't have enough emotional intelligence, which you have to learn emotional intelligence, it's just like being book smart. You have to learn how to be emotionally intelligent. And it's a process over time. And you never arrive, like we're never getting a 100 on that quiz, by the way, you know, it's always a work in progress. But once you start to increase your emotional intelligence, then you're able to expand your bandwidth for more, you're able to do more, take more chances, bet on yourself, quash the fear, move forward, those type things. So I want to actually circle back because I know that you have some really great tips for potential law firm owners and entrepreneurs. So what are like the three biggest pain points that people come to you with when they're either thinking about going out on their own, starting their own practice? And like, what is your answer to that pain point? So what are like three pain points and like three tips that you can give our listeners? Maybe, you know, someone's thinking about like, you know what, I'm at the point where maybe I can do this on my own, or they were thinking like, there's no way I ever could. So what does Katie have to say about that?
Yeah. So one of the biggest pain points people come to me with is they have started a business, but they need more clients. Like maybe they've had their first few clients and they've come to them through word of mouth, and they want more of like a consistency with their business development. And they're, I, it is really like, it's really challenging in the beginning because you get that first like initial momentum of clients. And then you're like, okay, how do I do that again? Like, where do I go? And people will throw money at marketers. And not that there's anything, there's a lot of great marketing companies out there, but people will spend a lot of money and maybe your ROI is a little bit inconsistent with what you're getting from certain companies. So people tend to come to me after they've invested a lot and not gotten the results that they wanted out of those investments. And they're like, I need clients or else like, I'm going to have to go back to, you know, a corporate job, which, I mean, there's nothing wrong with working a corporate job, right? But like, they're like, so sometimes it's a Hail Mary situation. And what I do is I work with them on creative ways to getting new clients and really mixing the creative with the traditional business development principles that we all need to follow. So If somebody doesn't have that business foundation for business development, I work with them on that because usually they are missing that foundation. And when I say foundation, I mean like they don't have a Google My Business profile set up so people can find them online. They don't have client reviews on Google so people can look at those client reviews and get a sense of what it's like to work with them. So I always start with like getting somebody Google verified, which means like you claim your Google My Business profile and then people can start leaving you reviews. One of my favorite things to do is I like to be the first person to leave somebody a Google review. You don't have to like be somebody's client to leave them the Google review. You can say like, hey, this person is really dedicated to X, Y, and Z. And you can list the nice things about a person and give them 5 stars. You don't have to necessarily be like a paying customer to leave somebody a Google review. So I love doing that. That's like a really fun process. It can be challenging to get that Google verification. So I work with people through that and then start, you know, working with them on systems to request Google reviews. And then we work on a bunch of different ways to get clients, but that's just kind of like the foundational start. Cause people, when they decide to work with you, they want to know you're legit, right? So you're trying to put yourself out there as an expert on what you do. Maybe you're not an expert, but you want people to look at you as like, you're the go-to for this and you can help me solve this specific problem. So one of the other things I work with people on is with their marketing efforts that they're doing right now, are those going to bear fruit for them in the immediate future? So like there's a lot of things you can do with business development that are more like long-term plays. And there's also a lot of things you can do that are a complete waste of time, right? Like social media can be a really like big rabbit hole to go down into. And like, maybe somebody is like just posting on Instagram like 3 times a day. And it's like, are your clients hanging out on Instagram? Like, what are you posting on Instagram? Right? Like, you know, are you just like posting quotes of things? Are you putting offers out to the right people? Are you putting yourself out there? So it's a very, I love social media for connecting with people, but for client generation now, like that might not be the move, right? Like that's more of like a long-term like business building play. So I work with them on getting those clients in the door. And a lot of what I like to do for client generation, I get clients from the internet through SEO and writing and things like that. And then also referrals. And so I love networking. So I teach them how to network. I teach a lot of the people that come to me. One of the other pain points is like, they don't know how to network. They don't know what that means. And so I literally give them scripts. Like, they're like, well, I want to reach out to this person, but I don't know what to say. And I'm like, okay, give me the full context. And then I'll draft, you know, the initial reach out for you. And sometimes my clients will be like, well, I sent them a DM last night and they haven't responded yet. And I'm like, yeah, like not everybody's on LinkedIn, like all the time, you know? So it's like, maybe if they haven't responded within, you know, a week or so, we'll follow up by email. You know, it's like, you have to know that, like, again, social media is a move, but it's not the move, right? And if you are looking to get clients like today, you need to work on several different strategies and like see what comes together. So one of the other pain points that people have is confidence. They don't necessarily feel comfortable selling themselves online. So it's like, I teach people how to sell That is a skill that can be learned. And it, one of my business coaches, she said it in a really great way. Her name is Kara Allwill. Shout out to Kara. She talks about selling is sharing. She's like, you're just sharing how you can support people. So you're not necessarily trying to convince someone. I'm not in the business of convincing someone that they need my services. I am just trying to figure out, what issue are you facing? Is it an issue that I can help you with? Am I the best fit? So another great salesperson, I really, really like his stuff, is Ian Altman. He has a really good podcast called Same Side Selling. He talks about our services as a puzzle piece, and then the client has a puzzle piece, and we're looking to see if like the two puzzle pieces fit together. And sometimes they do not fit together. And I learned from Ian, like, if it's a bad fit, like, don't force the fit. Do not force the fit. And if you are forcing the fit, you're just really setting yourself up for failure over the long run, and really the client too, right? And so it's like, you want to make sure that you're taking on, like, you can earn a lot more money by turning away business that is not meant for you. Like, it is such a, yes. It's such a really like, it seems like almost counterintuitive. You're like, well, why would I turn people away that are asking to work with me? It's like, well, maybe that they're showing red flags in the initial intake process. So I also teach clients that I work with for Law Practice Queen with my business consulting, I teach them how to screen potential clients. And you do not want to lower your fees for people. Like, you know, you want to maintain your fees because, like, ultimately you'll end up resenting them. Ultimately, you will prioritize them less than the people that are paying full freight. You know, subconsciously, you will do it. Research shows you will put them to the back of the pile. So you want to make sure that you're setting you up for success, like in the process, not just the sales process, but throughout. And so I work with people on systems, like intake systems, and then also making sure you get paid, because sometimes people are not comfortable asking to get paid. Like, your services are so valuable. You are helping people accomplish something that they really need to accomplish, and you deserve to get paid. And so in the legal world, you know, we deal with that with retainers and flat fees and things like that. And then in the consulting world, you get a flat fee up front. You know, you do these things and make sure that people, it really comes down to boundaries and making sure that you're not doing work for free, because people don't value free work. They don't. And they're not going to put the work in, and there's not going to be accountability if it's free, right? And free things can happen, right? Like podcasts and YouTube videos and things like that. But if you want a specific solution to what you're dealing with beyond just the general stuff that we're putting out there, that's a high value service, and you deserve compensation for that. So
those are amazing tips. And I think that even if, I don't even care if you're a lawyer, I think that is applicable across the board. It's just so, the networking piece is so important, and to do it correctly. And like you said, there's actually a lot of easy foundational pieces that you can go back and look, just after listening to this podcast, and look to see if you're doing for your business. Those are easy tips that you can go back and look to see if you are utilizing just the foundation of what you already have in the best way. So if people want to work with you for Law Practice Queen, where can they find you and how can they work with you? What is working with you for Law Practice Queen look like?
Yeah. So you can go to lawpracticequeen.com and you can fill out the contact form there. Working with me, I try to make multiple levels possible so people with all budgets can work with me. So on like the high end, I have a coaching and mentoring package for 6 months where basically you get me for 6 months and we work together on really accelerating your business, scaling up your business, getting you business growth, and you work with me one-on-one. So that's an option. I also have a kind of like the next level down, I have a marketing accelerator where maybe you don't want to work with me and put the resources in to work with me for 6 months, but I give you a curated questionnaire where I ask you about everything you're doing with your marketing and get really deep into your business. And then we do a 90-minute consultation where I walk you through all the things, all the holes I see and all the things you could be doing. So it's really like an audit of what you're doing. And then I come up with a curated marketing plan for you. And then we have 4 follow-up calls to kind of make sure you're staying on track. So it's kind of more like a DIY version of like the full-on coaching and mentoring that I do on business growth. And then I also have, for anyone who is a female entrepreneur, anyone who is a female lawyer, I have a membership, a networking membership. It's called the LPQ, Law Practice Queen Squad. And what that involves is it gives you an instant female entrepreneur and lawyer network. And you get on a referral list, exclusive referral list that we all have access to for everybody that's in the group. You have an exclusive LinkedIn group that you're a part of. I'm also rolling out soon a listserv for the LPQ squad because we're not always on the socials. We're always checking our emails, right? So I'm going to work on that piece. That's coming soon. And then you get access to all of the networking events for Law Practice Queen. I do quarterly virtual networking events with everyone, not just squad members, but you can also, if you just want to join for one, you'd pay $20 and you're in, you can go to the virtual networking session. And then I'm also doing an in-person networking event on March 15th in Northern Virginia. And I'm co-hosting that with Carolyn Elephant. She is the owner of a website called My Shingle. And it's a resource for solo practitioners who want to start their own firm. So Carolyn reached out to me and she was like, we should have an event. I live in Maryland. You live in Virginia. And I was like, let's do it. So it also includes that. So yeah, the LPQ network and all of the pricing and all of that. If you're interested, I can, you know, just send me a contact form through lawpracticequeen.com. I can send you the pricing for all of those. But yeah, those are basically, it's like the networking membership, the squad, the marketing accelerator, and then the mentoring and coaching for 6 months. Those are my current offerings right now. So I try to have like multiple levels. And then if you've no money, that's totally fine. You can listen to my podcast, which is Cash is Queen. It's available wherever podcasts can be listened to. And I get on there and I give my honest tips on business development, like the things that I know work and that I'm working on with my clients. That's a really fun thing. I just started that, I think like a couple months ago. I don't know, time flies, but I try to get on there twice a month and it's not, the format is different from this one. It's like just me kind of getting on for like 15 minutes and just talking at you. But I love that you're doing the guest format because I learned so much from that on other podcasts as well. So thank you, Erin.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. I mean, there's so much power in stories. It's just unbelievable. Like, and I really think, and what I love about this podcast is that I do get to bring powerhouses like you on this show. I mean, it's so much fun and we get to chat and you get to share your story and what, you know, makes you tick and how you're serving women and how I can get your name out there to help and serve more women, lawyers, entrepreneurs, all the things. It's like what sets my soul on fire. I think when women like us who are just ultimate connectors, that's just what we do. It's just in our nature to form community, to connect people and to like love on people. That's just who we are. So
yes. Yes.
Birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah.
But before I let you fly off, I would love if you would share a Legally Blonde moment with our listeners.
Oh my gosh. So when you first mentioned the Legally Blonde moment and you mentioned it could be like something funny, like falling out of a chair or whatever. I mean, I have a couple of different ones. So one was from law school, and I guess it wasn't me specifically, but in my contracts class, we had to bring this book to class. It was like a paperback, like thick book. It was the restatement, second restatement of contracts.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like
I remember that.
So if you did not bring the book, like, you were in trouble, you know, and the professor actually wrote the book. So it was just like this whole thing. But one time there was this kid that forgot his and he got cold called and he's like, oh, I don't have my book. And the professor throws the book at him, like literally. And it's like, it wasn't like a small throw. It was like a long throw, like across the class. And then like, you see this, like, I think he did catch it, but it kind of like hit him in the face a little bit. So it was like, it was jarring. I mean, this is like my first semester of law school. And I love that professor. His name is Professor Byrne. He is since passed. May he rest in peace. But yeah, I mean, he was so funny. Like he would give like lectures to the guys. He would be like, girls, you're fine. Guys, you need to shower and cut your hair and like wear real clothes. Like he was basically like, and he would like check in on us. He did a check-in like before the final to make sure we weren't like, you know, suicidal. It was really sweet. He's like, are you okay? Because it's like the first semester, like you're worried, like you are stressed. Like it was bad. Like I would drink, and maybe this is like TMI, but I would drink like a sugar-free Red Bull every day. Like I was like, I want to make like straight A's. Like I tried so hard and then I got like B's, you know, I was like, ugh, I got a C in property. I was like, oh,
I got a C in property too. I am still salty about that. Like I am still salty about it.
I have a lot of saltiness. It was like multiple choice and like, it was just, yeah, it was terrible. So like, anyways, that was funny, the book throwing incident. And then recently, this is like more of like a recent one. So I work from home and, you know, I have like neighbor kids knocking on my door that I'm ignoring, like while I'm on like calls with clients and like, you know, contractors coming by knocking on, it's always somebody knocking on the door. And so finally there was like, I had a call with a potential client. So I do like I call them intake calls and it's like 30 minutes. And if I feel like it's a case where we can do ongoing work with them, I'll just pop on for free for like 30 minutes, see if we're a good fit. And so I'm on this intake call with this like business owner and this contractor comes to my door. He is not giving up. Like he is knocking. Like, and I'm like, oh my God. So finally I felt so bad, but the business owner was like, it was like a plumbing company or something. And I was like, whatever, they won't care. I was like, I'm so sorry. Can you hold 1 second? I'm just going to like, there's a contractor at my door. I work from home. They are not giving up. So I literally had to like, while I was on the phone with a potential client, be like, hey, I'm on a business call, you know, and I was kind of terse with him, you know, so he got like the mean Katie lip. And then of course he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know? And I was like, what do you need? He's like, I need to get in your backyard. I'm like, okay, fine. Just come through my house. And then of course, like the potential client's on the phone. Luckily she was cool with it. She was like, it's okay. Like I totally understand. But I was like, oh my God, like she's going to think I'm so unprofessional. Like there's always this feeling of like, you know, you work from home. Like, are you a real lawyer? You know, I'm like, but yeah, anyways, it was fine. She was like, oh no, I totally get it. And then I like apologized to the guy afterwards. I was like, hey, I'm sorry for like, you know, biting your head off, but I was on a business call and you just kept knocking on the door. And he was like, no, it's fine. So yeah, it's like, I'm always like, sometimes I feel like I'm pretending, you know, it's like, I have like cute clothes on the top right now, but I am wearing like fluffy slippers, like underneath.
Oh, this, same. You know? Yeah. It's like we dress up from the neck up. That's what I call it. Like my kids think that's so funny. I'm like, oh yes. And they'll see me. They'll be like, if I'm dressed fully, like I have pants on, like normal pants, they'll be like, mommy, what did you do today? Did you have a special appointment? I'm like, no, I had to stand up and someone had to see me. I had to like go to lunch or like something where people had to see me with pants on. So, I mean, that is so, I mean, what can you say? It's work from home life. This is where we are.
Totally. Yeah. It's a vibe, you know, like top up, neck up, you know, I put the makeup on, I did the hair, I have the earrings, you know, but like, yeah, most days it is like, I mean, I'm like, oh, I don't want to make a video of myself right now. But then it's like, you know what, whatever, like no one else is like dressing up at home. It kind of gives serial killer vibes. If you're like working from home in jeans, like I have questions. Like
I do too. No one wants to sit that long in a pair of pants with buttons in them. I mean, I'm just sorry. I don't care how skinny you are. Like, no way. Oh my goodness, Katie, this was such a fun conversation. Thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing all of your brilliance with our listeners. I know that they're going to get so much from this. But powerhouses, thank you so much for listening in. And Katie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Erin.
All right. See you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening into the Powerhouse Lawyers podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you catch your podcasts. If you loved this episode, I would be so honored if you left a review. And because I know you are the type of woman who wants to see other women win, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs it. By sharing it, you are empowering a fellow sister in the law to know that she is not alone, that there is nothing wrong with her, and that she can build a life and career that she loves. Thank you. See you next week. Hey, Powerhouse, as a dedicated listener to this podcast, I have curated a special place just for you. It's called the Powerhouse Lawyers Facebook group. You can head on over to the show notes, click on the link, and join our community. This Facebook group is for listeners of the show, attorneys, no matter where you are in your practice. Maybe you're a law student, or maybe you're just someone fascinated by the legal profession. This Facebook group is for you. This is a community that is going to engage in discussions on episodes. You'll get special exclusives. There's valuable networking opportunities. I'll be providing some educational content. And above all, you'll get a strong, supportive community and support system. Click on the link in the show notes below to join the Powerhouse Lawyers Facebook community, where community, knowledge, passion, and collaboration thrive. Again, head on over to the show notes to click on the link to join the Facebook group for the Powerhouse Lawyers podcast. Thanks so much. See you guys there.